praying, and a scripture came to my mind.
Yes.
I'd like to read it before we get started. It's familiar scripture. But in Lamentations chapter 3, verse 22, he said, "It is the Lord's mercies that we are not consumed. Because his compassions fail not. They are new every morning. Great is thy faithfulness." It says, "The Lord is my portion, saith my soul, therefore will I hope in him." Brother Joel, I thank the Lord this morning. He's been so good to me.
Amen. Amen.
If we just get right down to it, if I got to what I deserve, Brother Joel, I'd be in hell this morning. That's what I deserve.
Yes, sir.
It ain't what I used to deserve. That's what I still deserve.
That's right. Yes, sir.
I'm still just a sinner.
Yes, sir.
It's just the Lord's mercies that I'm not consumed this morning. I bless his name for being so good to me. And for loving me, I thank him that his compassions do. They fail not. I thank God that they are new every morning.
Yes.
And I bless his name for that this morning.
Bless
I told Heather yesterday and this morning, I was just weak in body, weak in mind, and my spirit. Brother Joel was coming down the road this morning, and a song come on my phone. And the Lord poured out his good mercy on me.
Amen. That's wonderful.
And give me grace. And I thank him for that.
Yes.
And I'm going to try to continue on and do what the Lord said this morning.
Yes.
I teach you a little bit, but you pray for me. I need the Lord's help this morning.
God bless you.
I believe we finished up in verse 8. Last week, James 4. And he said in that verse, "Draw nigh to God, and he will draw nigh to you. Cleanse your hands, you sinners, and purify your hearts, you double-minded." And you'll see, he said, "Draw nigh to God, and he will draw nigh to you." Now, I've thought about that again this week and thought about it. And Brother Joel, it's always him that initiates that. It's always, you can't come to God without him drawing you. You can't come to him. I've tried to get down and pray. I've tried. It just don't work. It's just his mercy.
Yeah.
It's just his mercy and his grace, his good love choosing to meet with us.
Yes, sir.
He said, "Draw nigh to God, and he will draw nigh to you. Cleanse your hands, ye sinners, and purify your hearts, ye double-minded." He says, get clean on the inside and the outside. And Brother Joel, that's something else that God has to do for you.
It is.
A man can try to clean up the outside, but he can't do anything about the inside. It'll take the act of God.
Yeah.
And I thank God for the blessed day that he cleansed me on the inside, made me clean.
Yes.
And there's been many cleansings since then.
Yes.
And I needed it this week.
Yes.
And if you'll be honest, you did too.
Yes, brother.
But it takes God of heaven to do that for you. I can't cleanse myself. Brother Keith, I can wash my hands. I can take a shower. I can take a bath. But that don't get rid of the filth of this world.
No.
I don't touch it. And here he's telling us to do something that we can't do.
Yeah.
And it's going to take God.
That's it.
It's going to take the help and grace of God to do it. And the only way that we're going to get that help and grace of God is try to draw near to him. He said, "Be afflicted and mourn and weep," in verse 9. That word "afflicted" means to be wretched. It just means to realize who you really are. Realize who you are this morning. And then he said, "Be afflicted and mourn and weep." Brother Todd, I shouldn't be puffed up over who I really am. You see yourself the way God sees you, you're going to get down on your knees and beg for some forgiveness. That word "mourn" there means to grieve, to wail. Weep, we know that means to sob.
Yes, brother.
to cry aloud. But he's here telling you to look at where you really are. Too many times we look at ourselves in the light of human understanding. I compare myself to this other brother. I compare myself to somebody out on the street. I compare myself to some sinner. But brother, if you look at yourself in the light of God, you're just as wretched and vile as he is. It doesn't matter if he's a drunk on the street or a murderer in prison. You're just as wretched and vile in yourself. But he's saying, get down to where you really are this morning.
Yes, brother.
He said, be afflicted and mourn and weep. Then he said, let your laughter be turned to mourning and your joy to heaviness. Brother, I looked through these scriptures beforehand, the whole book of James. I mean, he's talked about the tongue. He talked about them fighting amongst themselves earlier, talked about them being friends of the world.
Yes.
And here he's saying, let your laughter, those things that you've been making light of, those things, that joy that you've had in this world, he said, let those things come to weeping. Let those things turn to mourning.
Yeah.
He said, you shouldn't be puffed up over who you are. You shouldn't be joyful. He said, you ought to see who you really are.
That's right.
You ought to be mourning and weeping. You ought to be drawing out of God.
Yes.
That word mourning means mournful sorrow. It means grief. It says, turn your joy to heaviness.
Mm-hmm.
That means sadness, shame, gloom. Joel, too many times we know in words, we know that we're just sinners.
Yeah.
We're nothing but dirt.
Yeah.
That's who I am this morning. But it don't take long for you to get a little prideful.
That's right.
It don't might take long for you to go out somewhere and you see someone less fortunate than yourself. And if you ain't careful, your pride will well up in you. Well, I don't do that. I don't do that. You can do that in the house of God this morning, Brother Joel.
Yes.
It won't take but a second for your pride to well up in you. Well, I don't do that. No, but who are you? If that's all you got is those outward things, the things that people can see, then who are you? You need to take a look, just like I need to take a look, on who we really are. Most of the time when I look at who I really am, I don't like it. Most of the time. There's times God has been working in my heart and he's been straightening some things out. And not anything of me, but it's God that's been doing the work. He's been doing the pruning. He's been doing the cutting. And you can look and God will tell you to look and see where you're at. And you can say, well, Lord, thank you for letting me grow.
Yeah.
But that's him. That's not you. The Bible says we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God hath foreordained that we should work in. It ain't me, Brother Joel. If I grew any this last year, it wasn't me. It was the Holy God of heaven that done it. It was his plan that was already laid out, and he just got me to where he wants me to be this week. It's nothing that we could brag in. What do we have to brag in, Brother Todd? They call today Easter. What do we have to brag in that? Jesus Christ went to a cross. He lived a sinless life. And it was our sin that hung him around the cross. It was because of me that he had to die. It was because of me that he had to take that punishment. All the shame and reproach had to be put on him. That was because of me. What do I have to brag in this morning, Brother Joel? It was because of me that he had to die. It was because of me that he had to resurrect and go to the Father and put the blood on the mercy seat. It was for my atonement. I ain't got nothing to brag in that this morning. That's you.
That's it.
It's all God.
Yes.
It's all God.
Oh, yes.
We have nothing to brag in this morning. If God changed your life, if God's done something in your heart, if he's pruned something out, if he's cut something out, If he showed you something you've grew this year, that's because of God. We have nothing to brag in. We ought to be mournful. We ought to be not sad in it being born again, brother. That's not what I'm saying. But when you look at who you really are, whenever you look at what does God see? What did Brother Todd, what did God see whenever he seen you before he saved you? What did he see? He said, all my righteousness is just as filthy rags. You mechanics in here, you know what that looks like. Just a whole bunch of filthy rags over in the corner. It's nothing but dirt and filth. What's on those rags, Brother Keith? The stuff that you could just wipe off your hands. The mess that you could get off easily. That's who I am this morning. If you want to be honest this morning, that's who you are in the sight of God. We ought not be boasted up about those things. He said, be afflicted and mourn and weep and let your laughter be turned to mourning and your joy to heaviness. If you got anything to brag in this morning, if you got anything to be grateful for this morning, it's in Christ. It's all him. And he says, humble yourselves in the sight of the Lord and he shall lift you up. Humble yourself. Brother Todd, if you get to seeing who you really are, then you can humble yourself. It's not hard. It's not hard for me to get down at my master's feet and just thank him for being so good to me this morning. Being so merciful to me this morning because I don't deserve a thing. I can see myself in the light of God. I know I don't deserve anything. The word humble means to depress, to humiliate. To bring yourself low, to make low. I said it last week, but it's like that dog that whenever you put your hand out, the master puts his hand down. He just gets down on all four, just gets as low as he can and crawls to him, licks his hand. That's what we are this morning in the sight of God. That's where we ought to be. He said, humble yourselves in the sight of the Lord. I said, he'll lift you up. He didn't say, you got anything to boast in. You ain't got nothing to be proudful of. But if you'll humble yourself to God, he'll do that. Amen. Brother Joel, I said that. I quoted that verse earlier. We are his workmanship. Yeah. A real craftsman, whenever they make something, they want to put something up there where people can see it.
Yes, sir.
They got a store. They put stuff out there where people can see it.
Yes, sir.
It brings them glory. Brother Joel, it's nothing in that piece of wood or in that piece of pottery or anything in themselves. That clay didn't make itself into a pot. It didn't paint itself. It didn't glaze itself. It didn't do any of those things. It's the potter that did the work. That wood craftsman, it ain't the piece of wood. I mean, you've cut a many piece of wood. I have too. You take an old piece of oak. And it is just a piece of wood. It's just a piece of wood. It's good for nothing but to burn.
Yeah.
It gives you shade when it's standing upright, but once it's cut, it's good for nothing but to burn.
Amen.
But a skilled craftsman can make anything into it.
Amen.
Brother, he'll lift you up.
Yeah.
And it ain't your glory, it's his glory.
That's right.
He lifts you up so that he can get the glory. Why? Because he's the one that's worthy.
Yes.
What is he saying here? He said, we need to realize that we're nothing before him.
Yes,
with a heart of humility, draw near to him.
Yes.
Knowing, Brother Todd, there's nothing I can do without him. Not a thing. I can't do anything this morning without him. You really want to get down to it. If I try to do this thing in myself this morning, I'll just make a mess of it.
Yeah.
It takes the God of heaven to help you.
Yeah.
He said in verse 8, draw nigh to God. He will draw nigh to you.
Mm-hmm.
Brother Joel, how do you draw nigh to God just like that?
Yeah.
You get down low. Be humble. Realize who you really are. And the God of heaven will show mercy to you. In 1 Peter 5, verse 6, he said, humble yourselves, therefore, under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you in due time. Said, humble yourself under the mighty hand of God. Said, speak not evil one of another, brethren. We've already touched on that earlier in the book of James. We talked about that tongue. If you look there at that word, speak not evil, it's talking of slander there. It's what it really comes down to. He says, speak not evil one of another, brother. That ought not ever happen in the house of God. That ought not ever happen in the house of God, but it does. What does that do, Brother Joel? If I was to say something against you, what does that do? That makes pride in my heart.
Yeah.
That's me saying that I'm better than this person.
Yep.
But what it does, what it really does, is it brings shame to that person that you're talking about, and it brings shame to the name of God.
Yes.
That's what it really does.
Yes.
If I claim to be a Christian and I'm running my mouth about somebody, that's bringing shame on the name of God. It's bringing down their character.
That's right.
Making me feel good about myself.
Mm-hmm.
But that's all it does.
Yeah.
But to the sinner looking on, that just brings shame to the name of God. That's what it does.
Yeah.
In James 3, we had talked about let's guarding our tongues. And surely I'm not somebody that's above all that. I'm not trying to teach anything this morning that the God of heaven's not had to smite my heart about. But in 1 Peter 2, verse 1, he said, wherefore, laying aside all malice and all guile and hypocrisies and even envyings and all evil speakings. In Ephesians 4, verse 31, he said, let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and evil speakings be put away from among you in all malice. He said it numerous times in the scriptures and just about every epistle, somewhere it's dealt with.
Yep.
And you can say this morning, well, we don't have that problem. We never have that. But brother, it was wrote to every church.
Amen.
It was wrote to every one of them. It was wrote to me and you too. I'm not super spiritual this morning. Just trying to be honest. God help my heart. He says, he that speaketh evil of his brother and judges his brother speaketh evil of the law and judges the law. Brother Joel, in Romans 14, verse 4, he said, who art thou that judgest another man's servant?
Mm-hmm.
To his own master he standeth or falleth.
Yeah.
Yea, he should be holding up, for God is able to make him stand. If I see something going on in a brother or sister's life, I shouldn't be running them down. That's God's problem.
That's exactly right.
I got enough issues I need to worry about, Brother Todd. There's enough things in my life I don't need to point out to them. I can point out what's going on in my life. I shouldn't be running my mouth. I'm not their judge and I'm not their master.
Amen.
God of heaven is if they're saved.
Amen.
And he'll deal with it. I promise you, if you're saved, God will deal with it. If I see something in your life, you see something in my life, brother, just pray for me.
That's it.
Just pray for me.
That's it.
If I see something in your life that just don't line up, if God's giving me some light on some things, and maybe he ain't give you light on it yet, and I see something in your life, it ain't my place to say something to you.
Nope.
It's my place to pray for you. Brother Todd, if I'm going to run my mouth about you, it ought to be to God. I ought to be bringing you before the Lord. Pray God help you. Most of the time, whenever I get to that place, God shows me what I need to be praying for, really.
Amen.
He shows me myself.
Yes, sir.
And I don't need to worry about you.
Yes.
Well, he was over in Matthew, he said, judge not that you be not judged. I mean, I ain't got no place to say anything about anybody, brethren. I can't, how am I going to tell you about that beam when I got that old moat in my eye? I mean, we all got problems, brother, this morning. I should never speak evil of you. You should never speak evil of me or the brethren. I don't do nothing but divide. That's all it does. We're all one. We're a family. We shouldn't be doing anything to divide each other. We'll be trying to get closer to each other, closer to the Lord, with each other. I promise you this morning, if any of y'all walked with me for a day, you'd see plenty of things you could run your mouth about. There's plenty of things you could see in me that I don't do right. But my master's the Lord, and your master's the Lord. And he's the judge. He said, speak not evil one of another. He that speaketh evil of his brother and judgeth his brother speaketh evil of the law and judgeth the law. Brother, whenever I condemn somebody for what I see them doing, I'm making myself out to be a judge. It's what I am. It's what's going on. And there ain't but one judge. We know that. There ain't but one that's going to judge the quick and the dead. That's what he said. The quick, there being those that's alive. Yeah, I believe that's 2 Timothy 4, verse 1. He says, I charge you therefore, get before God and the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall judge the quick and the dead at his appearing in his kingdom. He said, but if thou judge the law, thou art not a doer of the law, but a judge. He said, you've set yourself up to be a judge. You've set yourself up to decide whether somebody's guilty or innocent. That's not my place this morning. That's not your place this morning. Brother Keith, who am I to pass sentence on you? I'm a sinner just like you are. I can't keep the law. You can't either. Brother Joel, you can't keep the law this morning. You can't.
No.
That's why God saved us, so that we wouldn't be under that law anymore.
Right.
Does that mean we can live any old way? No. But that means we got grace.
Amen. That's greater.
We got grace. We got grace this morning. We got mercy this morning.
Yeah.
Been bestowed upon us. I'm nobody to judge you. That's not my place.
Right.
And he said, there is one lawgiver. There's only one that's making the laws, Brother Joel. There's only one. That's God.
Right.
I didn't make the rules. I used to pick with Heather and her sisters. They tried to teach me a card game one time when we were first dating.
Yeah.
And every time I thought I had it figured out, they'd change the rules on me. They said they just forgot to tell me, but they were changing the rules. She knows exactly what I'm talking about this morning.
Yeah.
But there's only one that makes the rules, brother, and he don't change.
No, sir, he don't.
They're laid out clearly for us.
That's it.
He told those Israelites, he gave it to them, and it's been the same down through the years. He wasn't given to the Gentiles. They wasn't.
Uh-uh.
We wasn't in that chosen one.
No.
That wasn't he wasn't given to me. But, brother, there's only one law, and it's given by God.
Amen.
We're all under that law to keep the law.
Yes, sir.
Thank God for grace.
Yes, sir.
He said, there is one lawgiver who is able to save and to destroy.
Amen.
He said, there's only one, Brother Todd. There's only one lawgiver, and there's only one person that can save you or destroy you.
Yes.
That's it.
Yes, sir.
The only one. In Matthew 10, verse 28, he said, "And fear not them which kill the body, but are not able to kill the soul, but rather fear him which is able to destroy both soul and body in hell." So there's only one that can destroy the body and the soul. There's only one that can either save you or damn you to hell, Brother Joel. That's it. There's only one judge. When it comes down to it, Jesus Christ is going to judge each and every one of us. There's coming a time when each and every knee will bow. Each and every name will confess. Every tongue is going to confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father. There's only one. There's only one, Brother Keith. He's been made that preeminent one. So then who art thou that judgest another? Brother Keith, am I going to puff myself up and say, I'm going to be your judge? Am I going to be like Christ? Am I going to be God? No. Brother Joel, this morning, I'm just a sinner.
Yeah.
You're just a sinner.
Yeah.
How can I judge you? I ain't no better than you are. How can you judge me? You ain't no better than I am. Jesus Christ is judge over all. He said, there's one lawgiver who is able to save and to destroy. Who art thou that judgest another? He said in verse 13, he said, go on now. Go to now. What he's really saying there is take heed, listen up. He's kind of changing gears just a little bit here. But he said, go to now, ye that say today or tomorrow, we will go into such a city and continue there a year and buy and sell and get gain. And he ain't condemning them here. I mean, in these times, that's how they made their living. They went from town to town, place to place. They went and sold goods. He ain't condemning them there for doing that. What is he condemning here? What is he telling them here? He said, go to now, ye that say today or tomorrow, we will go into such a city and continue there a year and buy and sell and get gain. Brother Keith, it ain't the fact that they were going and doing those things. It's the fact that they were saying, this is what we're going to do. They're boasting of tomorrow.
Yeah.
Boasting of what they're going to do. Mm-hmm. When in reality, they have no control over tomorrow. Brother Keith, I have no control over my next breath. And you don't either. How am I to say that this is what I'm going to do tomorrow? This is what I'm going to do next week? I'm not a planner. I mean, my wife's my wife, but she's the planner in the house. She wants to have everything just nailed down, laid down. I can get up in the morning and do whatever. However the wind blows, I can go. That's fine with me. Don't bother me a bit. She is not that way. But he's talking to him here about boasting on what you're going to do tomorrow. Whenever they have no control over those things. He said in verse 14, whereas you know not what shall be on tomorrow. He said, you don't even know what's going to happen tomorrow. How are you going to boast what you're going to go do? You know good and well as anybody does that your best laid plans in the morning ain't always what happens. That's exactly right. You know too. I mean, most of the time whenever I get to work, I say I'm not a planner, but most of the time I have an idea of what I'd like to accomplish that day. But I know good and well enough to know I ain't setting things, well, this is what I have to get done, because if that's the case, I'm going to fail every day. Something's going to come up. Something's going to happen. Always does. Why? Because we have no control over it, Brother Joel. We have no control over it. You'd think it would happen every day, Brother Keith. We'd understand that. We would realize that, hey, I'm not sovereign over this thing. The God of heaven is. But we still boast in things and say, this is what I'm going to do. This is my plans. We don't know what's going to happen tomorrow. We don't even know if we're going to have it tomorrow. I don't know.
That's right.
I don't.
No.
Over in Job, he said there's a bound that I can't cross. Brother Joel, that's the line in the sand.
Yeah.
You ain't going to cross it.
No,
it's determined. Am I a fatalist? Not really. But there's some things that they believe is pretty true. I mean, this, it's, if God said this is what's going to happen, then that's what's going to happen. In Proverbs 27, verse 1, he said, boast not thyself of tomorrow, for thou knowest not what a day may bring forth. I don't know if my plans are going to happen. Something can come up. I might be sick. I might be dead. Circumstances could have changed. How am I going to boast on what I'm going to do tomorrow? Brother Keith, when it really comes down to it, God might have a different plan for my life. He said, for what is your life? It is even a vapor that appeareth for a little while time and then vanisheth away. God said your life is just like a vapor. It's here just for a little while, just for a short period of time. God brought back to my remembrance, I think it was this last week. Yeah, it was this last week. Every morning on my way to work, I pass Cottle Creek Reservoir. Pretty good size little body of water. It's big enough that when the wind's blowing strong, you get white caps out on the water. It's not just a little old pond. It's a pretty good size little thing of water. And Brother Keith, as I rode through there the other morning, it's pretty foggy. And there was a vapor out above the clouds, or out above the water. You've seen it before. You get that vapor up there. And the Lord brought this back to my remembrance yesterday as I was thinking about these things. And it was there when I went to work that morning. It was thick. It was heavy. You couldn't see across that body of water. There's a house that sits way up over there on the other side. Huge house. Looks right down on the water. You couldn't see it. Why? Because the vapor was in the way. But you know what, Brother Todd? The sun came up that morning. And it heated that water cloud up. And what did that do? It condensated. We know how all that works. It condensated. It turned back to raindrops. And it went back to where it came from. And that's our life. And I was thinking about that yesterday, and I thought, you know, there's sometimes that it's cloudy enough that vapor cloud might stay out there for days. It might.
Yep.
And there's sometimes it's just a couple hours. And if you go through a cemetery today, then you'll see people that lived just a short period of time, and you'll see people that lived a long time. Brother Joel, it ain't up to the water vapor how long it stays there. It's up to the sun.
Yes, sir.
And it's up to the sun how long we stay here on this life. Either way, it's fleeting. It don't matter if it's a couple days or just a day. If I live a day or if I live 100 years, it's just a little time. Brother Todd, I used to think that 40 was a long time. Not that long anymore. I used to think 50 was old, but I'm coming up on it pretty quick. But if I live to be 100, then my life's almost half over. Some of you's closer to that than others. But we can all agree it's just been a little time here. It's just been a little time. You're 63 years old, right, this year? 63. That's just a little time. In the grand scheme of things, I know as a kid that seems like a long ways off.
Yeah.
But today you can stand here and say, that's just been a little time.
Yes,
it's just been a little time.
Yes, sir.
What is our life? It's just a vapor.
Yes,
It appeared for just a little while, and then it vanishes away. In 1 Peter 1, verse 24, he said, "For all flesh is as grass, and all the glory of man is the flower of grass." He said, "The grass withereth, and the flower thereof faileth away." It's just a little time. It's just a little time, Brother Keith. I got a field full of crimson clover planted out there. It's been green for months. It's looked good. It's growing up. It's a little bit over my knees right now. About a week ago, I started seeing little red flowers coming up on it. And I looked out across there this morning, and from the house, I could see that the top of that field just looked a little red. And by next week, it'll be just as red as it can be. But it ain't going to last but just a little while. It'll be less than a month. I've been waiting for it for almost a year now. But it's just going to last a little while. And it's going to fly, that flower's going to fade away. The glory of it, the glory of that clover, the flower, the pretty part of it, the glory of it's going to fade away. Yeah. It ain't going to take but a little bit. And Brother Joel, I got to thinking, it just like that paper cloud. It came up from that lake, that reservoir out there, and it's going back to it. And one of these days, I'm going to be in a casket. If the Lord don't come back, they'll put me in the ground. And I'll go back to dirt just from like I came from. Job said in chapter 12, verse 10 of Job, he said, "In whose hand is the soul of every living thing and the breath of all mankind?" Job said he's got your breath right there in his hand. He's got your breath in his hand. He can take it at any time. He give it. In Genesis 2, he breathed into man the breath of life. And it's in his hand to take it when it's his good will. Job 33, verse 4, he said, "The Spirit of God hath made me, and the breath of the Almighty hath given me life." And our hand, our lives are in the hand of God.
Yes, sir.
Our lives are in the hand of a sovereign, almighty God.
Amen.
And what am I to boast in today and say, "Well, I'm going to do this or I'm going to do that"? You know where this is going. It's the Lord's will. Brother Todd, it's if the Lord will, I'm going to do this. If the Lord will, I'm going to do that.
Yes, sir.
He said, "What is your life? It's even a vapor. Appears for a little time, then vanishes away. For what we ought to say is, if the Lord will, we shall live and do this or that. If the Lord wills, this is what I'm going to do tomorrow. If the Lord wills, this is what we can do today. If the Lord wills, I would love for him today to reach down and fill us with his presence.
Yes,
give us freedom and liberty to worship him. Give the preacher liberty to preach.
Yes,
give the singers liberty to sing under the power and anointing of God."
Amen.
That's what I would love for to happen, but it's going to be all the Lord's will. Brother Keith, I can't make that happen this morning. You can't either. It's all him. Brother Todd, he alone, Jesus Christ, the God of heaven, he alone is sovereign. He alone is in control of everything. And it's going to be his will be done. Brother Keith, whether you say it or not, his will be done. But he's saying here we shouldn't be boasting in these things. We shouldn't be boasting in what we're going to do in our time. But it's going to be up to the Lord. It's his will. He said, "But now you rejoice in your boastings." He said, "You're rejoicing. You're lifting up and being prideful of what you're going to do."
Yeah.
He said, "Such boastings are evil." That's what he said. He said, "Such rejoicing is evil, being prideful, self-glorying in what you're going to do." That's what it really comes down to. It's the pride of the thing. When you come down to most sin, it's pride. When it comes down to it, most sin is traced back to pride. He said, "But now you rejoice." That word "rejoice" there means be vaulted up or boasting. He said, "You're rejoicing in your boastings. He said, and all such rejoicing is evil. And then he said, I need to finish up. He said, but therefore to him that knoweth to do good and doeth it not, to him it is sin. That covers a big old spectrum, Brother Joel. There's a lot of things that could apply to. If you know not to boast in those things and you do it, it's sin, Brother Joel. You look back over there where they were fighting amongst themselves and he told them they ought not be doing that. They ought not be friends with the world. But you continue in those things, that's sin. He told us in chapter 3 about our tongue. You know to do well and you do it not, it's sin. In Luke 12, verse 47, he said, and that servant which knew his Lord's will and prepared not himself, neither did according to his will, shall be beaten with many stripes. Brother Joel, I thought of that verse because I thought Brother Joel, there's a scripture, and it's just a good principle. But to much is given, much is required. That's what it is. I mean, there's a lot of things been told to you by your parents and by your grandparents down through the years. There's a lot of good principles that they tell us that's based on scripture. But that's true. That if you're been given light on something, Brother Keith, if you've been given light on something, you're going to be responsible for that. If I've been given light on something, then I'm going to be responsible for it. And we at this church has been given a lot of light. I don't say that boastfully, but the God of heaven has showed mercy and give us a lot of light on some things. And sometimes I forget that I'm responsible for all that. Sometimes I do. Sometimes I forget that, hey, everybody don't know this, so everybody's not responsible for it, but I am. Because God showed me light on it. And to him that knoweth to do good and doeth it not. That's why I can't condemn you for what you do and don't do. God might not have showed you those things. But for me, if I know there's things in my life that I should be doing, if I know there's things in that I ought to live, the way I ought to live, things I ought to say, things I ought to do, the way I ought to dress, if God's made an issue of those things to me, if God's given me some light on the scripture on some things, and I don't walk in those things, I'm going to be held accountable. He said there in this scripture, that servant there is going to be beaten with many stripes. In John 9, verse 41, he said, Jesus said unto them, if you were blind, you should have no sin. But now you say we see, therefore your sin remaineth. He's warning in the scripture this morning. There's been some good instruction, but there's some warning in the scripture this morning. We've been given some light on some things, and we need to walk in those things. We need to walk in the light that God's given us. We need to live right, do right. I know that's a general statement, Brother Joel. It's about as general as it can get. You need to walk right and live right. But Christ is our example.
Yes.
He is. He was when he lived on this earth. A sinless, perfect human being.
Yes, sir.
I know he was all God at the same time, but he was sinless.
Yes,
in this flesh.
That's right.
He took on this flesh and he lived a sinless life.
Yes, he did.
Am I Christ this morning? No. But I ought to live like Christ. I ought to walk like Christ. I ought to act like Christ. If you're going to claim to be a Christian this morning, that's the way we ought to be, right?
Yes,
drive
it.
We ought to strive towards that.
Yes.
There's been a lot of things been said this morning. But in that last verse, he said, to him that knoweth to do good and doeth it not, to him it is sin. God brings that scripture to my mind a lot of times.
There's a lot of things I'm responsible for this morning. There's a lot of things you're responsible for this morning. God, help us to walk in those things.
Amen. Help us, brother.